This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th and 10th chapters. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for the laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bonnie and I know of a congregation that shall remain nameless. But they were struggling with a problem that is not all that uncommon in churches today. There was a couple in that church who were very active. They were both of them very smart and hardworking. He was involved in the music ministry of that church, and she helped out in the church office, volunteered several days a week. Their kids were involved in Sunday school and in the different youth ministries. The whole family supported the ministry of that congregation, both financially and by donating hours and hours of time in service. So what's the problem, you may be asking? On the face of it, this looks like a pastor's dream, doesn't it? A couple of parents who give much and in many different ways to the church, and who seemed to be raising their kids to follow in their footsteps. So what's not to like? Only this: both he and she had definite and an undeniable edge to the way they interacted with other people in the congregation. If something went wrong, a little bit wrong even, in the music on a given Sunday, he would just glare at the poor soul who didn't kind of measure up to his high expectations. And God forbid something should go wrong in the office during the course of the week, because if something did, she would just kind of lay into the office administrator or the delivery man or maybe even another volunteer who maybe didn't live up to her expectations. A friend of mine and I watched in dismay one Sunday morning when they both gave someone an especially nasty tongue lashing over some perceived mishap. And I kind of shook my head in disbelief and said something to the effect that, you know, there's just no denying that they both do a lot of good work around the church. But then my friend was smart and quick to add, but where is the love? Where's the love? And that's a good question. Love and compassion and grace should go hand in hand with serving in the body of Christ. But sadly, too often, this isn't the case. And so we find out that it's possible to serve, but to serve for all the wrong reasons. And you know, we're kind of used to seeing that in our day-to-day life. You know, in the secular world, people serve and they even lead sometimes for the wrong reasons. And we see that, don't we? The development of personal power, or maybe to gain prestige, or maybe just so they can dominate a given activity. Sometimes those are the things that motivate people to serve and to participate. And it's sad that sometimes those same negative motivations drive the behavior of people in church. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. And there's one key word in our gospel lesson today that makes this perfectly clear. And maybe you caught it. It shows up right at the beginning of the reading in verse 36, where we read this. It says, "When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd." Jesus had compassion on the crowd because he knew that they were used and abused and harassed in their daily living. And you know, when you think about it, life for the average person in first century Israel was no picnic. Life expectancy was short, and the everyday person was likely to be exploited economically, politically, and sadly, even religiously by the powers that be. And except for the hope that they had in Jesus as that long-awaited Messiah, the crowds that mostly followed Jesus were people who lived lives of desperation. But time and time again, the Gospels tell us that Jesus looked with compassion on the crowds and individuals he met. And time again, Jesus' response was to serve those in need through a ministry of healing. Right? Think about all the things that Jesus did in his ministry. He taught. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. Fed the masses. Cast out demons. Caused the lame to walk. All forms of healing. And all done out of compassion for people. And what's notable about our gospel lesson today is that in it, Jesus gives his followers the responsibility and the authority to minister in exactly the same way he did. Jesus' ministry was all about bringing healing and wholeness where it was needed. And of course, he does it for the right reason. He does it out of compassion. Sometimes when we're reading the Bible, you know, we need to pay attention to not just what's happening in the story, but also to recognize and to think about things that don't happen. That's sort of the way my brain works. In our gospel lesson today, it's very clear about what happens. And that very first verse in it tells us what's going on. Jesus is really busy in Galilee, isn't he? The first verse tells us that he's gone all over the countryside to lots of different cities and villages. And our text tells us that he's been in the synagogues teaching, and that he's busy curing all kinds of different sicknesses and diseases. He's been ministering to the people in their need, touching lives where it's needed. And then we come to that key passage that talks about he's doing it out of compassion. And so far, these are the things that are actually happening in that gospel lesson. But it's what doesn't happen next that kind of interests me. Because even though Jesus has compassion on these crowds, even though he recognizes that the people who are following him are mostly living lives of desperation, Jesus doesn't take it upon himself to personally fix every out-of-kilter situation. What's he do instead? You know, he basically recognizes that the whole world is in need, and to deal with that, Jesus turns to his disciples and asks them to pray. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send more workers into the harvest field, because the harvest is plentiful. He recognizes that. But please, God, send more workers into this harvest field to do your will. You know, instead of wading into the crowd and doing some sort of mass healing demonstration, Jesus asks his disciples to pray. That's step one. Pray that God sends more workers into the world. As heaven knows, there's a tremendous need out there. And I just think it's so significant that even though Jesus is facing this huge need for healing in the world, his first step in dealing with that is to ask his followers to pray. Pray for some like-minded workers who will do God's will in the world. But Jesus doesn't stop there, does he? No. The next thing he does is he gathers his followers around him and he gives them God jobs to do. He gives his followers, his disciples, a command. He gives them a mission. You see, it's not enough for the people of God to pray that someone will come to the rescue of those in need. Our reading makes it very clear that the first step is to ask God to send more workers into the world, but step two is about acting yourself. Step two, Jesus empowers his followers to minister to the crowd in exactly the same way he's been ministering to them. See, being a follower of Jesus isn't just a learning experience. It's also, and maybe more importantly, a doing experience. Jesus gives us as his followers work to do in the kingdom of God. Once Jesus' followers have a mission, this takes them above and beyond learning about the kingdom of God. Now they become active in the kingdom of God. Jesus' disciples are sent into the world to serve just as Jesus had been serving the world. And we read that in our text, don't we? Just like Jesus, the 12 are given authority to proclaim the good news that the kingdom of heaven is near. They're to cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Doesn't that sound exactly like what Jesus has been doing all along? And now the disciples have specific God jobs to do. Those jobs just happen to reflect the kind of work Jesus has been doing. And I don't know if you caught this or not, but right at this point, something remarkable takes place in our reading. And we know this because after Jesus gives the 12 their God jobs to do, St. Matthew uses a different word to describe them than he did before. No longer are the 12 simply followers or disciples. Now that they have a mission in the world, and after Jesus sends them in the world to accomplish that mission, St. Matthew refers to them as apostles. And you might remember that the word that we translate as apostle comes from the Greek word apostolos, which literally means one sent on a mission or a messenger. And of course, that's exactly what Jesus instructs his disciples to do, isn't it? They're to proclaim the good news and they're to bring healing and life where it's needed. Wow, is that me? All right. And it's clear that once a follower of Jesus springs into action to fulfill the commands of Jesus, he or she becomes an apostle, doing a job. And if you think that this command to become an apostle only applied to those original 12 and that it somehow doesn't apply to us today, I'm just going to invite you to kind of rethink that position. Ministering in the kingdom of God goes beyond the efforts of paid, professionally trained individuals. Dare I say, seminary trained individuals. You think about it, Jesus' followers, they were just common, ordinary, everyday people with common, ordinary, everyday jobs. Think about it. They were fishermen, dreamers. There's a political activist in the group, even a tax collector. But that did that prevent Jesus from calling them into service? Absolutely not. And the same is true for us today. In fact, it's probably better for the world as a whole if they get ministered to by people without seminary degrees. Speaking personally, I think I tend to complicate things sometimes more than I should. I guess the point is that all of us are called to proclaim the good news and to bring wholeness and healing and life to the world around us. And I would just ask you to think about this. Have you ever stopped to consider that maybe you are an answer to someone else's prayer for God to send workers into the harvest field? You might be that person. You might be the answer to somebody else's prayer. And so whether you're a teacher or a homemaker or a healthcare worker or an electrician, no matter what you do, if you're just a mom or a dad or a grandmother or a grandfather, Jesus calls all of us into what we could call marketplace ministry, to be his presence in the world today, to continue his mission of proclamation and healing in the world. And so let's just think about when we respond to that call. Let's be sure to do so not with resentment or hardness of heart or out of self-interest, but let's respond the way Jesus did, out of compassion. As you know, the world can spot a phony a mile away. It's only when we minister out of compassion that I think that we truly reflect the life and the love of Christ. So let's take this week and the following week especially to seize every opportunity God gives us to proclaim God's word and to reach out to those in need, all to the glory of God. And when we do that, may no one ever be able to say to our efforts, "Where is the love?" Amen.